This is the More Than Right podcast, and I'm your host, Steve Lopez. Hunter Biden is a crack-addicted, whore-mongering layabout. It's the stereotypical outcome for many kids from well-connected families that have everything handed to them. Oddly, these kids don't feel all that special, and, like Hunter, engage in self-destructive behavior. They never really quite fit in. Hunter's drug-fueled personality got him tossed out of many different places, from the United States Navy to Hollywood's fashionable Chateau Marmont. Hunter leads the kind of lifestyle that usually lands a person in jail or an early grave. Hunter may not think himself all that special, but he clearly is. It's estimated Hunter has a net worth of $230 million and earns more than $20 million a year. And yet, no one has determined what exactly Hunter does for a living. But the Internal Revenue Service says Hunter stiffed federal tax collectors out of $1.4 million. The IRS also says, in 2018, Hunter tried to claim a $10,000 membership fee to a sex club as a business expense. But it seems the IRS and Justice Department weren't all that interested in pursuing the wayward Hunter until House Republicans established committees with subpoena powers, powers that allowed them to collect Hunter's bank and business records. It turns out Hunter and his business partner, Uncle James Biden, brother to old Joe Biden, own at least 20 shell companies. House investigators believe these business entities allowed Hunter to transfer payments from Chinese oligarchs, then to various holding companies, then, eventually, to Daddy Joe as loan repayments. Wink, wink. House investigators also interviewed FBI and IRS whistleblowers who say their respective agencies stymied earlier investigation into Hunter's shady financial chicanery. Keep in mind, the FBI took possession of the Hunter Biden laptop and all the evidence contained therein back in December of 2019. 4 years after the fact, the feds filed a very limited 9-count tax fraud indictment, and nowhere in the 56-page document are Uncle James Biden or Daddy Joe Biden's names mentioned. Facing a possible 17-year stint in prison, Hunter went on something of a speaking tour to do a little damage control. That included a very friendly interview with crooner-turned-podcaster Moby. First, Hunter insisted Republican investigators hot on his trail have psychological traumas, very much like his, that attract them to him. You know, like moths to a flame. Moving on from this novel theory, Hunter said,
I recognize that none of this is necessarily about me. They are trying to, in their most illegitimate way, but rational way, they're trying to destroy a presidency. And so it's not about me. In their most base way, what they're trying to do is they're trying to kill me, knowing that it will be a pain greater than my father could be able to handle. And so therefore, destroying a presidency in that way.
Hunter would have us believe timid House Republicans who have problems choosing a speaker somehow contrived a plot to kill him. Really? More recently, Hunter failed to appear before Congress for a sworn closed-door deposition. Instead, he appeared before anxious reporters outside the Capitol building.
For 6 years, MAGA Republicans, including members of the House committees who are in a closed-door session right now, have impugned my character, invaded my privacy, attacked my wife, my children, my family, and my friends. For 6 years, I have been the target of the unrelenting Trump attack machine shouting, "Where's Hunter?" Well, here's my answer. I am here. Let me state as clearly as I can, My father was not financially involved in my business, not as a practicing lawyer, not as a board member of Burisma, not in my partnership with a Chinese private businessman, not in my investments at home nor abroad, and certainly not as an artist.
Have you noticed how everyone from Hunter, his father, Democrats, the mainstream media, establishment Republicans, and conservative journals fear and loathe the Make America Great Again movement? MAGA has infuriated the protectors of America's corrupt political status quo, making MAGA something of a boogeyman. As his father's poll numbers drop, with Donald Trump's approval rising higher in swing states, Hunter fears this MAGA momentum is forcing normally protective federal agencies to finally focus, if only in a limited way, on him and his shady financial deals. House Republicans have shown that Hunter received money from his Chinese benefactors, moved it to family-owned shell companies, then to Uncle Jimmy's checking account, and finally, to the big guy, Joe Biden. But Democrats and the media push the false narrative that no proof exists linking Hunter's ill-gotten gains to his father. George Washington University law professor, legal scholar, and commentator Jonathan Turley dispelled this media narrative in a recent column. According to Turley, quote, "After years of suppressing this scandal, the media and even some Democrats admit Hunter Biden and his uncles have long been involved in influence peddling. The United States has led global efforts to criminalize and deter this common form of corruption for years. Recent testimony from Biden associates confirmed they were selling the Biden brand, and Joe Biden regularly called into meetings and met with business associates. The last line of defense has been to argue that while millions may have been sent to Biden family members in raw influence peddling, there is no evidence Joe actually benefited from the money as opposed to his children, brothers, and grandchildren. This false narrative is being repeated despite the fact courts have rejected this claim in actual criminal cases. Not only have payments to children and other family members been viewed as benefits to a defendant, but the same is true in impeachments. I served as lead counsel in the last judicial impeachment tried before the Senate. My client, Judge G. Thomas Porteous, had been impeached by the House for, among other things, benefits received by his children, including gifts related to a wedding," unquote. Just in passing, Judge Porteous, appointed by President Bill Clinton, was convicted by a Democrat-controlled Senate in 2010. If skittish House Republicans do manage to pass articles of impeachment against Joe Biden, it's unlikely a Senate trial will end in the manner of Judge Porteous. Democrats, not to mention Washington's army of never-Trump Republicans, won't allow it. But, as Hunter Biden himself admits, MAGA is steadfast in its determination to end Biden family corruption in the only way that matters, by returning Donald Trump to the White House, thus rectifying the stolen election of 2020. With the Biden family's hands off the levers of power, these grifters will lose all their commercial value, and the bowing and scraping by fellow Democrats and their media stenographers will abruptly conclude. And I suspect even Hunter's fledgling art career will come to a quiet and unceremonious end. And that may be the cruelest cut of all. Hunter Biden, the man with the lost laptop chronicling his Mr. Toad-like wild ride, filled with images of crack pipes, high-priced hookers, and acts of profound self-loathing, turned out to be his family's undoing. But Hunter also provides a glimpse into how far American democracy has devolved, which allowed the theft of the 2020 presidential election, which put a corrupt and senile man in the White House. The same man who says he's building America back better. The same man whose genetic code built the ne'er-do-well, influence-peddling, coke-snorting, and MAGA-bashing Hunter Biden. You might have thought that once House Speaker Mike Johnson released security tapes from January 6, 2001, which showed pro-Trump demonstrators peacefully protesting through the halls of Congress, it would have dispelled the media narrative that said the demonstration was the worst attack on the U.S. Capitol since the Civil War. Instead, the weaponized Department of Justice continues with its prosecution of former President Trump, claiming he inspired an attack that wasn't. Now, let's talk about something that actually happened on Capitol Hill. A video posted to an online forum dedicated to gay men in politics shows two young men having sex inside the Hart Senate office building, in Hearing Room 216 to be exact, a room famous for its confirmation hearings of U.S. Supreme Court nominees. It was the conservative website, The Daily Caller, who broke the story. Later, other conservative media formed a digital posse that eventually discovered the identity of one of the sex partners, one who worked for Democratic Senator Ben Cardin. Cardin's office said the staffer in question has since been fired. That staffer, Aidan Mays Zarofsky, said in a statement, quote, "This has been a difficult time for me, as I have been attacked for who I love, to pursue a political agenda. While some of my actions in the past have shown poor judgment, I love my job and would never disrespect my workplace. I will be exploring what legal options are available to me in these matters," unquote. The sex tape he posted online belies his so-called respect for his former Senate workplace. And it's doubtful he can successfully sue a news outlet, conservative or otherwise, for simply discovering a public online post. Gay sex scandals are nothing new to Capitol Hill. In the late 1980s, former Democratic Representative Barney Frank had sex with a male prostitute in the House gymnasium, in front of the locker used by then-Vice President George H.W. Bush. The male prostitute in question eventually moved into Frank's Washington apartment, from which he ran a prostitution ring. Back then, as is now, it was conservative media that broke the story. This has been somewhat upsetting to the mainstream media. They're prone to covering up Washington sex scandals, as they did for Presidents Franklin D. Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, and, of course, Bill Clinton. Now the mainstream media seems to be condemning conservative media for reporting a sex scandal involving a low-level Senate aide. According to Time magazine, quote, "The news immediately gained traction in conservative media. While details remain scant, outlets including the New York Post and Washington Examiner identified the staffer," unquote. And ABC News said, quote, "The Senate staffer alleged by conservative outlets to have had sex in a hearing room is no longer employed. Conservative news outlets alleged that the aide to Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat Maryland, appeared in a leaked video showing men having sex in a Senate hearing room," unquote. Yahoo News added, quote, "Right-wing media personalities led by conspiracy theorists and failed congressional candidate Laura Loomer would go on to take the reins on Twitter, X, and other platforms, digging up other posts on Instagram connected to the username Aiden Santo. They named the staffer as Aidan Mays Zarofsky, a staffer in the office of retiring Maryland Democrat Senator Ben Cardin," unquote. As Washington scandals go, the Zarofsky transgression is small potatoes. What makes the sex scandal interesting, though, is the mainstream media's reaction to conservative news outlets beating them to the story. Even more interesting is their insistence that news coming from outside the buzzing media hive mind are conspiracy theories. They seem to be saying, if we don't report it, it didn't happen. This bias is no doubt responsible for the public's record mistrust of legacy media. But more importantly, this latest Washington sex scandal shows how empty today's leftist politics has become. In the 1960s, it expressed itself through anti-war demonstrations, civil rights protests, and marches demanding equality for women. What started as political virtue signaling has devolved into meaningless and depraved exhibitionism. From drag queen story hour to transgenders in women's sports and high government positions to recording sex acts performed in a historic Senate hearing room. Americans, normal Americans, are starting to notice. And as election season draws near, the narrative spinners of the mainstream media fear all this noticing will end what remains of their power and Washington's twisted status quo. Legacy media no longer controls the national conversation. Alternative media, called conspiracy theorists or right-wingers by their irrelevant detractors, are coming into their own. And free speech advocate Elon Musk believes average Americans can engage in journalism by way of social media. Quote, as Twitter pursues the goal of elevating citizen journalism, media elites will try everything to stop that from happening. Mainstream media will still thrive, but increased competition from citizens will cause them to be more accurate, as their oligopoly on information is disrupted, unquote. This explains why media elites hyperventilate in favor of censorship, what they call content moderation, to combat conservative and citizen competition, what elites label misinformation. And the alternative journalist's job will be made so much easier as the senile left becomes more brazen in its displays of bizarre exhibitionism. That concludes this edition of the More Than Right podcast. If you feel so inclined, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, this is Steve Lopez.